Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Blue Jays From Away podcast, episode 45.
Got this force coming through in my blood, in my veins, it's a current of love.
In this episode, we bring you our interview with the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, Jesse Goldberg Strassman. So sit back, ladies and gentlemen, take a listen, and get your Blue Jays on. It's the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Thanks for joining us for the Blue Jays From Away podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Jays From Away Premium Content Section. This section features profiles on the players in the Blue Jays minor league system, as well as scouting reports and links to exclusive video. You can get the full story for only $15 for a yearly membership that also includes a free copy of the 2015 Toronto Blue Jays Minor League Handbook. You can get monthly access to the premium content section for only $1.99 per month. At Blue Jays From Away, we've got it covered. Stay tuned, we've got our interview with Jesse Goldberg Strassler coming right up. Welcome back to a special Blue Jays From Away podcast. We're joined by the one, the only, Jesse Goldberg Strassler. Jesse is the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, and also you can hear him on Around the Nest, the wonderful weekly podcast that rounds up all of the information about the Blue Jays minor league system with the radio hosts for every team around. So here he is, the one, the only, Jesse Goldberg Strassler.
I hope we're doing a good enough job on Around the Nest. It started in 2012 just as Blue Jays A-Talk, saying, hey, Toronto Blue Jays fans, here's what's going on in single-A Lansing and A-Advanced Dunedin. And it's fantastic to let folks know what's happening in Bluefield or Vancouver or Buffalo. What's going on the ground? What are the cool stories to share? The prospects get a lot of credibility and a lot of pub. But even then, there's all this thought, what's he going to be? What's he going to turn into? And one thing that I really enjoy about my job is that's not my job. You get to enjoy yourself. You get to evaluate. You get to speak with the folks who evaluate. And I get to look back and watch the game and tell you exactly what's happening in front of me. And then 3-4 years down the line say, hey, how about that Noah Syndergaard? But I'm not evaluated upon my ability to evaluate the ball players. I just get to enjoy the baseball.
And well, let's talk about some of that baseball here in Lansing, where this team has been very good for the first half. In fact, I'd say it was excellent for the first half of the season, wrapping up a playoff spot. And in the second half, they haven't been quite as dynamic, I guess you could say. What have you seen lately from this team in the second half as we sort of march towards the playoffs?
Well, first, I think that first half Lansing Lugnuts team is one of the most talented single-A groups that's been assembled in a while. And I've heard from scouts saying that he had never seen that kind of collection before. And I'm going to be eager to say, hey, when all shakes out, Jesus Tinoco, an afterthought in the starting rotation, Chase DeYoung and Tim LaCastro traded to the Dodgers, and then the rest of this crew, from Anthony Alford to Rowdy Tellez to Richard Urania and right on down, Ryan McBroom, how does everybody fare? Where's everybody going to go? This was historically great in the first half. They would have won the league championship if the championship had been played in mid-June. Second half, no, it's not as dynamic because it doesn't have the same talent level. But Chris Carlson batting in the leadoff instead of Anthony Alford, I think we're getting to see what kind of player he is. He was hidden batting eighth. He's a heck of a grinder, and he's making himself into one terrific ball player at the plate, on the bases, and in the field. And there are other guys who similarly get that same opportunity to step forward, whether it's Dusty Isaacs in the bullpen, working on his slider, developing his changeup. Whether it's out of the starting rotation, steps being made forward by Chase Mallard, by Starlin Soriel before he was injured. That's the pleasure for us, is the second half, the playoffs are now off the table. They don't have to have that desperation of having to win every single game. They can simply say, like that minor league credo, let's push forward, let's develop. And so the dynamism hasn't been there, the talent hasn't been there, but the opportunities have been there for these players to still say, hey, take notice of me, I've got the opportunity, I'm making something of this 2015.
So who would you say is benefiting the most from those opportunities?
I think Chris Carlson comes to mind first. The fact that Carlson, who at the start of the year, maybe he was a third or fourth outfielder, and he certainly was not going to be batting high in the order, especially not when Anthony Alford was here, Richard Urania was batting right behind him. Carlson is playing all three outfield positions. He's batting in the leadoff spot, and he's showing power. 7 home runs in his professional career, and all since June. And the other guy that I think we're on the verge of seeing him break out, I've been enjoying watching him play more and more, is Josh Almonte. Almonte is now playing an increased percentage in center field, giving DJ Davis the chance to play the outfield spots. And Almonte can play center. He's got speed. He's 6'3". Oh, by the way, he just hit his first 2 home runs of the season, and he crushed them. Oh, by the way, he had no walks in April, May, and June, and now he's drawing walks, and now he's working his way deep into the count. It's his first full professional minor league season. And based upon where he's come and where he is now, I think Carlson can say the same thing. These two guys, under the tutelage of the Blue Jays coaches and Rovers, they are making players of themselves.
Well, let's talk about Almonte for a second, because I saw him in April show off primarily on the defensive side of things. He's got some great range, and he's got a cannon of an arm. And Carlson's not a slouch in the defensive department either, as we saw a pretty great throw from him the other day from right field. But with Almonte is not as young as we might think he is. I think he's had 3 years in short season ball. I think he's about 21 right now. And, you know, he's not having the best season overall. So what are you seeing from him in his offensive game as he develops?
The fun thing is it's all relative. Josh spoke to me during flips, during tosses on the field before batting practice. And he said, you see that scoreboard? See where it lists me with a .220 batting average? If you saw me 2-3 years ago, and then I told you I'm going to be batting .220, you would have thought I was crazy. Because he was raw. He was nothing back then. He was overmatched. The fact that he's batting .220 right now, I think actually heralds a mark in his favor. It's saying he's taking steps forward. It was an at-bat last night, Friday night. It is in the late innings. The Lugnuts need base runners. Gets down in the count, nothing and two, against a tough reliever for Bowling Green. And he doesn't worry. Takes ball one, doesn't chase. Takes ball two, doesn't chase. Laces a single to left field, just hits a bullet. Earlier in the game, he sliced one down the right field line, hustled it into a double. I think it was Bill James who said that if you don't have a terrifically above average tool, and I'm paraphrasing, then people downgrade you, people underrate you. And he said that in referencing Darrell Evans and Dwight Evans. Almonte's great tool is his throwing arm. And I think that's good for him, because if that's what catches your eye, you don't worry about the speed, which is exceptional. Don't worry about the range, which is exceptional. And the bat's coming, and I think the power is coming too. It's relative with him. If Rowdy Tellez bats .270, .280 this year, we expect something more out of him. But a Rowdy Tellez .280 and a Josh Almonte .220, based upon where they've been, those are different things. It's the same thing with Lane Thomas out of Tennessee or DJ Davis out of Mississippi. Those guys aren't as advanced. They require more time. Almonte out of New York requires more time. I'm not concerned about his age. He's 21 right now. Let's say next year he repeats Lansing at age 22. Let's say, and then he moves up to Dunedin at age 23. And you mean to tell me you have him on the cusp of the major leagues at 24 or 25? That arm's not going to go down. That speed's not going to go down. But the power will come up as he fills out. There could really be something there for Almonte.
So there we have Josh Almonte. And your perspective as the broadcaster for the Lansing Lugnuts really gives you, you know, a very different perspective than someone like me or, you know, anybody writing about prospects, because it's really tough to see everybody day in and day out. And you know, you also must have a lot of great stories because you just see baseball all the time and you call 140 games a season. There must be some, you know, great stuff that you get to see. Is there anything this year that rings a bell about a game that, you know, you just fell in love with the story of the game or an incident or a situation that happened that just surprised you?
It all depends upon the trigger. That's my joke, is throughout the season, there are so many great stories all the time, and you just don't know what story will get triggered. The things that captivate me are the things that make a day stand out. Bowling Green's Riley Unruh, he was a switch hitter, and he's standing in against a right-handed Lansing Lugnuts pitcher, Chase Mallard. And Unruh starts on the left side, takes a pitch, goes to the right-hand batter's box, takes a pitch, goes back to the left hand. Everyone's going, what is this? And it was just so different. Why? Mallard's not a knuckleballer. What's going on here? That I enjoy. Anthony Alford scoring from second base on a 2-run sacrifice fly on a fly ball hit to medium depth right field. I love that. Tim LaCastro scored earlier this year from first base on a bad pickoff throw. Ball got away down the first base line, but LaCastro, in speeding around, had a look, saw that they were dawdling getting it back in, and he dashed on in. Tim LaCastro had 2 inside-the-park home runs this year. Bobby Bradley hitting batting practice. Oh boy, do I love that. There are those moments that you just never know, that next little beat. What's going to liven things up? What's going to get you jumping out of your seat or cracking up? There was a defensive play pulled off by the Lake County Captains the other day. It was the Lugnuts had runners at first and third. Tie game. Bottom of the 8th inning. Chris Carlson batting. Great situational hitter. Knows exactly what to do. And the infield is drawn in. And Carlson hits a ball back of the mound, back of second base. Lugnuts are about to take the lead. And Yu Chang Chang, and I need to make sure to enunciate my vowels, Yu Chang Chang, C-H-E-N-G-C-H-A-N-G, 20-year-old shortstop for Lake County, somehow dives behind second, somehow short hops it, somehow glove flips it to second, bare hand catch by Jonathan Mendoza, fire to first. Lansing loses the game. That saves the game for Lake County. When you talk about great stories, every single day there's another great story. But if you just hang around the game, wherever you are, there's stories from the press box. There's stories going out there, walking around during batting practice and just hearing guys talk. And I think that idea of what makes a great story, is it that great play? Is it finding out that Jason Loblobigian has written the word compete on his barrel of his bat, that any time that he needs inspiration, he can step out of the batter's box, look at that barrel, and hit another? That's what I love. I love watching the pitchers work in the side sessions down in the bullpen and see what they can do. Justin Schaefer just told me the other day, one little adjustment, staying over the rubber a little bit longer, and it jumped up his velocity. That, when you say stories, that to me, that's a story. And maybe it sparks something and maybe it doesn't. Let me tell you another story about Justin Schaefer. He moves up to Dunedin. And in the side session, just starts playing around with a cutter. There's nothing there. Comes back to Lansing, starts playing around with it. Jeff Ware, the pitching coach, says, show it to me. Playing around with it. Jeff goes, okay, cool. Put it in your back pocket. We'll work on it somewhere else. Mike Reeves is the catcher. Reeves says to Justin Schaefer, we're not putting it in our back pocket. We're using it your next start. And Schaefer went to the mound, and he threw majority cutters and he shut down the Great Lakes Loons. And I'd given a scouting report to the Loons broadcaster, Chris Vosters. I'd said, Justin Schaefer, sinker, slider, be ready. So Chris spoke with Great Lakes manager Luis Matos after the game and said, boy, that must have been a great sinker, and how about that slider, huh? And Luis Matos goes, not a sinker, not a slider, cut fastball. So Chris was coming up to me at the same time I was coming back up to him and saying, we both talked, cutter. Those moments over the course of a season that can change a minor league player's season. The fact that Ryan McBroom adjusted his hands, changed his load, and that changed his season in June. I'm talking your ear off, I apologize, but there's a story every day.
Well, there's a story every day, and the story coming up is going to be the playoffs, and you've seen the Great Lakes Loons as much as anybody in this ballpark. What do you see in the Great Lakes Loons, and what do you think the challenge is going to be for this Lugnuts team as they get ready to challenge and try to make their way to a Midwest League title?
I asked a Lansing Lugnuts player a couple of years back, might have been Justin Nicolino, what's the difference between playoff baseball and regular season baseball? And he said, playoff baseball is slower. Every pitch means more. Every swing means more. Can't give up a swing, can't give up a pitch. You've got to concentrate on everything. And the Lugnuts and the Loons, they play slow in general because the Lugnuts have played the Loons 16 innings this year, 15 innings, and 11 innings. The very first series of the season between the Lugs and the Loons, it was opener of the series was tied 1-1 in the ninth. Lugnuts won it on an error. Then in the second game, boom, 16 innings. Third game of the series, 11 innings. Lugnuts have defeated the Loons twice this year in extra inning games where a position player has been on the mound for the Loons. Roddy Tellez homered to win one, Juan Kelly homered to win the other. These two teams have been tight. Now the Los Angeles Dodgers, what they like to do with their affiliates, they'll integrate in the 2015 draft picks. You get to see that year's draftees every year. Will those players be tired or will they be ready? That's the big thing. How much energy do those guys have left after the full college and high school seasons? So we know what we're going to see from the Loons, even if we've never seen these players before. We have no idea who those guys are. We can read them on the roster. We can read their college stats. For the Lugnuts, well, the Loons might not have seen the Lugnuts players before, especially if David Harris steps up big time, and Harris is an X factor. DJ Davis, Richard Urania, Chris Carlson, Ryan McBroom, it's a fearsome four. And if Harris plays well, that makes it a fearsome five. Danny Jansen coming back to the team, solidifying the catching role, X factor at the plate, there's another guy. So, Lugnuts and Loons, right now, bottom teams in the Eastern Division. Neither one of them playing great baseball. Doesn't matter. They're in. One of those teams is moving on, with a chance to win 2 out of 3 in the Eastern Division Championship Series and play for the league title. If you're the Lansing Lugnuts, all these struggles in July and August don't matter a thing.
I think that's a great place to end our interview. Thanks to Jesse Goldberg-Strassler for giving us some of his time. Tune in all the time to hear Jesse, and you can also tune in online to hear some of the other great broadcasters in the Blue Jays system. Look for it on MILB.com, and we hope to see you again in the playoffs.
Thank you very much. Hey, we're in. Ring in September. That is our motto. Thank you.
That's it for episode number 45 of the Blue Jays From Away podcast. I'd like to thank Jesse Goldberg-Strassler for joining Blue Jays From Away. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter @JaysFromAway. Come on back soon and go Jays go.